Good morning, good morning, Unity family. Welcome, welcome. This is indeed your hour of discovery, and you are in the right place at the right time. I'm Reverend Dr. Beverly Saunders Biddle, still getting used to saying that. And it is my honor and pleasure to be your speaker this morning. And now welcome again to the first Sunday in this new year. I welcome all of you who are here in the congregation and all of you who are online. We welcome you as well. And just going to take a minute and offer a prayer, because we know that prayer is the foundation of the Unity movement. Beloved, Father, Mother, God, source of all good, we honor you this morning. We praise you this morning. And we give thanks for your power, for your presence, because we know that you are everywhere present, whether we're here in this sanctuary or elsewhere in the world. We know, God, that you are always with us, moving in through and as us. And right now we just ask prayer and comfort and healing power for our beloved Reverend Sylvia Sumter, our senior minister. Continue to keep her and bring her back to us, prayerfully next Sunday, so that we can offer our love to her in person. And for this and so many blessings, we say thank you, and so it is. So I pray that you all had a wonderful holiday season and a wonderful New Year's Eve. So if I'm not the first, I'll be among the first to say Happy New Year. So I'm sure that many of you came here to service this morning thinking that it's Sunday morning, the first Sunday of the new year, yes? And what better place to be to begin the new year than in church, especially those of you who were here for the wonderful Burning Bowl. How many were here for the Burning Bowl? And how many of you were online like me? All right. Well, you are only partially right in thinking that you came here because it is Sunday morning. Yes, church is the great place to be at any time. And yes, it is Sunday morning. It's also not some day morning. And that will become clear. That's right, it's not someday morning. It's a time to wake up and smell the coffee, to seize the day, to get things going, to get up and get moving. Have you had enough cliches yet? Well, I've been called and assigned to provide a wake-up call, not just for you, but for all of us, because I am not immune. We're all the same, all a part of one. So how many of you have things that you've been putting off? You don't have to come and testify. Or should I say, how many of us? Remember, I'm in this too. We all have those things that we've put off until we have enough time, until we have enough money, until we have that perfect someone to share it with, until we get a better job, until. Then, of course, the best one is, when I retire, I will. I'm sure we've all heard stories of people who have retired with a long list of things they want to do, places they want to go, people they want to see. And then they've discovered that there's some unforeseen, serious life situation that prevented them from doing any of it because they've been putting it off. And let's not forget my all-time favorite, the vague someday. I'm going to someday. Someday I will. Someday I'll be able to. Or even more vague, I hope someday I will. I hope someday I can. I hope someday, maybe, I will. more often than not, someday never comes. Perhaps it would be more accurate to say someday, maybe not. Just keep in mind that someday means at some unknown, unspecified, and usually fairly distant time in the future. Someday. It's not my purpose here to be a downer, especially on this glorious New Year's Sunday. We've just celebrated a wonderful holiday season, and I'm not trying to throw in a curveball. I'm just here to say it's absolutely not someday morning. It is an opportunity for us to make another choice. One of the divine gifts that we've been given is free will and the power of choice. What an absolute blessing that is. It's time for us to choose those things that we've been putting off until someday. It's time to claim someday as today. The dawn of a new life is breaking for all of us this morning, not someday. What makes us put off what we'd like to do, what we'd like to have, where we'd like to go, or who we'd like to be? Do we keep wishing and hoping that perhaps things will just miraculously appear, that they will just show up or drop into our laps? Or to the contrary, do we think that these things won't happen without a lot of effort and resources and time and perhaps luck? Many of us even pray for them, but we pray not really believing that our prayers will be answered. Any witnesses? So we keep waiting. What we're really doing is running and hiding, running from who we are, running from standing in our greatness, the greatness of who God created us to be, running from taking responsibility for our lives, from taking the committed action required to have the life that we've been waiting on. We've been hiding our light under a bushel, hiding the divine gifts that we've been given, hiding our hearts, perhaps to keep them from being broken, hiding our authentic selves, for fear of being rejected, or worse, fear of being accepted, fear of being too much, fear of being more than we think the world can handle. Any Leos in the room? We've allowed ourselves to stay stuck, focusing on the fear instead of on the possibilities. We've allowed ourselves to remain stuck in the mire of our own disbelief and justifications, and stuck in the details of our story. You know, our story, the things we tell ourselves, the things we tell others about ourselves, so that we don't feel hopeless, so that we don't have to step up and step out, like I did when I got the call. We've told ourselves that whatever it is we'd like to do, wherever we'd like to go, whatever we'd like to be, is out of our league. We just don't have what it takes. We've bought into the hype and convinced ourselves that we're just not good enough as we are. We're inadequate, somehow defective or deficient. And we've told ourselves our story so long that not only do we believe it, but we could get an Academy Award for our convincing performance. We've told ourselves, for example, that we don't know how to do it, that we're just not sure that we can afford it, that we do not have or do not see how we can make the time for it. Perhaps what we're really saying deep down is that we really don't deserve it. It's not meant for us. It's just a pipe dream anyway. we'll never really have it. We'll never be able to do it or to be it. Remember that definition of someday? When we say someday, that unknown, unspecified, and usually fairly distant time in the future, our subconscious mind hears and says, yeah, right. You mean we're too dumb, too poor, too busy, too small and insignificant, too something to ever have what we really desire to have, do, or be. We just keep saying someday, so we won't have to give up completely. It's a game we play with ourselves. And our subconscious mind says, okay, I'll play along. And I'll keep ensuring you that you focus on all the roadblocks that will prove you right, that will make you a winner in your own no-win proposition. So are you saying enough already? Are you saying I surrender? Good. Yes, it is time to surrender. Time to surrender ourselves to the truth. It's time not to surrender in the common use of the word or understanding of the word, to give in or give up in defeat. It is time, though, to give up. To give up to release and let go of all the misbeliefs and error thinking that stands between us and all the promises of God. And yes, it is also time to give in. To give in to the presence and the power of God. That one infinite power and presence that is active in all of our lives and affairs. To allow the divine vision that God holds for our lives to be made manifest on the earth. When we truly surrender, we also give up the notion that it's all up to us. Having the life that we desire is up to us, but only to a point. We've heard that if it is to be, it's up to me. How many have heard that? That just means that we must do our part. You know, move our feet while we pray. Yes, we must actively and fully participate in the divine flow of life. Yet we must not forget that it is a divine flow. And that we are not in this alone. We must get out of the way so that the activity of the Holy Spirit is allowed to do its divine and perfect work. So as we surrender those things that stand between us and the perfect manifestation of God's absolute good and perfect will for us, we must prepare ourselves to do our part. And our part is to accept that there is a divine and sacred vision for our lives. Then we are to participate in the manifestation of that vision through intentional living and committed action. Perhaps this is what has been missing from the traditional practice of making New Year's resolutions. We have not always understood that there is a divine and sacred vision in the mind of God for each of us, an inner vision through which we take on that sacred nature of divinity itself. When we resolve to do something, we are depending upon our own individual will and discipline to have it turn out. Often, though, the things that we have resolved on December 31st or January 1st are not things we feel passionate about, nor are they necessarily related to our divine purpose. They are connected to some area of our life in which we've judged ourselves to be inadequate or imperfect. Or we resolve to lose weight because we think we're fat and unattractive, or we resolve to save money, perhaps because we think we're frivolous, or we resolve to quit some habit that we've judged to be unseemly or detrimental. And too often, these resolutions have a lot of negative emotion attached to them. Guilt, shame, fear, and we can go on. We most likely feel some sense of obligation or are participating in some level or form of emotional blackmail or even bargaining with God. We've been making We've been making resolutions and focusing on what we don't want, what we want to get rid of, what we don't like about ourselves. This whole focus and energy around New Year's resolutions has probably contributed to the success or lack thereof of the entire process. Research has found that people have given up on about 90% of resolutions by the end of March. Yeah, that long or that quick. I know that I can't identify that many for myself that I've really kept. And that is one reason that I no longer make New Year's resolutions. Perhaps it's time for a new paradigm, a new perspective, a new spiritually rooted practice. Why not work with those things that we desire to have, do, or be at the core of our being? They're not mere whims. The desires of our hearts were placed there by God. Desire of the Father, meaning that they have already been set aside for us. Why not declare them, claim them for ourselves? Why not bring them into manifestation on the earth plane through the power of choice, which is a spiritual principle that is a critical element in the divine process of manifestation? Why not make powerful, conscious choices? Not just choices by default, but conscious choices. So as we endeavor to thrive in 2025, it's our time to shift into our new paradigm, our new perspective, and our new spiritually rooted practice. We know that transformation is an inside job, so we begin within. Our first step is to open ourselves to the possibility that our lives can be different. We must open ourselves to the truth that God's will for us is super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. We must believe in the limitless possibilities of it all. We must set aside our story and open ourselves to capture a vision for ourselves that has our desires manifesting in this now moment. Now, in all caps. Not someday, but this day. We must then be willing to live our lives with intention. Intention is that spiritual process that puts us in alignment with the divine flow and divine forces of the universe. That statement to the universe of what we are choosing to see manifest in our life and affairs. There's tremendous power in intention. By choosing to state a clear and heartfelt intention, we make a declaration to the universe about what we're up to, and what it is that we desire. We make it known not only so there's no doubt or lack of clarity within our own consciousness, but so that the divine and universal forces can line up to support us. Many of us are wishy-washy, and then we wonder why our dreams aren't made manifest. The universe has a challenge figuring out what it is we truly desire. And until we get clear within ourselves and state it clearly and with heartfelt conviction, when we place our attention upon our intention, manifestation occurs. The final component in our new practice is to take committed action. The universe rewards action. And not just doing for the sake of doing, but taking small, measured steps in the direction of our vision, toward the manifestation of our dreams. So often we allow ourselves to remain stuck because we don't know what to do or how to do it. Remember that airplanes are off course a good percentage of the time. Kind of a scary thought, right? Yet, through constant course correction, they arrive at their destinations. Pilots don't just sit at the gate because they don't know how to get to their destination. They put the plane in gear, get onto the runway, and take off, knowing that they can make adjustments along the way. We can do the same thing. We can take one small step each day toward manifestation. As we may discover, the step isn't taking us in the desired direction, not yielding the desired results. We can always make another choice. And we can choose again and again and again. Keep choosing to have our visions turn out. The key is to begin somewhere. Even when we've convinced ourselves that we don't know how or don't know where to start, there is always something we can do that will propel us into action. We can ask ourselves, what can I do right now that will move me closer to my dream? What small step can I take? We can take that one, then another, and allow ourselves to be pulled forward by the power of God's vision for our lives. Let us be encouraged by the words of the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. That's from the Amplified Version. Remember, it's not someday morning. When I got still to ask what message to share this morning, It's Time by the Winans began playing in my mind. You know that song? It's time. Time to make a change. Okay, no concert. The primary theme is it's time to make a change, and we are his people who can do it. Of course, the song is referring to the second coming of Christ and admonishing believers to prepare for that day. That day that we don't know when it will occur, perhaps it's a someday occurrence, yet we need to be prepared nonetheless. Well, in New Thought, we see the second coming as a matter of consciousness, a result of building what Charles Fillmore called the principles of being into the soul of man, where we begin to express through him. Being is the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. It's the fullness of God, the all good. What I heard is that it is not just time to make a change. It's time to surrender to the fullness of God. That is the essence of all that we've been called to embrace as the truth of who we are, and all that we've been called to express through our thoughts, words, and actions. It's time for us to open ourselves to the divine and limitless possibilities. We must awaken to them, capture them, and make them our own. Then we must live them with passion and purpose, setting clear and heartfelt intentions and taking the consistent, next most appropriate steps required to bring them into manifestation. And we must know and trust that this is a divinely guided and ordained process. So I leave you with one of my favorite poems by Donna Markova, author of I Will Not Die an Unlived Life. She wrote it in her time of grief, having just learned of her father's transition. And as she reflected upon how his heart had been hollow and vacant of dreams, and how he had been convinced he didn't matter, this poem emerged. It speaks to what it means to live fully, sensually alive, and passionately on purpose. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit. So I offer this to us this day. May it be a blessing and a clarion call to seize the day, release our someday, and surrender to the fullness of today. So be blessed in this new year and beyond. This is an opportunity for us all to be all that God has created us and called us to be. Baruch Bashan, the blessings already are. Blessings. Thank you.